Michael Brown here. I am so glad we get to spend this time together on the Line of Fire. Sit back, enjoy the program. If it blesses you, share it with a friend. According to an article in USA Today, gay civil rights are completely inevitable. It's time for Christians to recognize what's happening and pick another hill to die on. Time to throw in the towel. What do you think?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into The Line of Fire.
Hey, look, friends, Let's be honest. Let's look at the handwriting on the wall. There's certain things happening in society. It's too late. We're not going to change them. We're not going to stand in the way of progress, even if we think that progress is wrong, even if it's in the name of gay rights. Hey, let's pick another hill to die on. Let's fight another battle. If we keep fighting, we're going to marginalize ourselves, make ourselves look bad. So let's get out of the way. Let's embrace gay rights, homosexuality. Let's find another hill to die on. That's what an article is urging us to do in USA Today. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can join the always lively discussion on Facebook on our page there. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. Look at what has happened in our society in the last 10, 20 years in terms of cultural shifts. There was a day when women couldn't vote in America. There was a day when blacks were looked at as not fully human. We had a lot of things wrong in our culture in the past. Now, society's adjusted itself again. It recognizes the humanity of those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. They should have the right to serve openly in the military, at least most of those categories. They should have the right to marry. Some of them are great parents. Some of them are very devoted to each other, and they make great contributions in society. Some of the nicest people you know, some of the best coworkers you have, some of the finest professors, some of the best actors, actresses. Come on, they're gay, lesbian. And the church is still fighting this primitive battle. No, we stand against this abomination. Come on. Let's just preach the gospel. Let's lead people to Jesus. And let's quit fighting a moral war that is already lost. That's what Tom Kratmaker said in an article in USA Today last week. There's an interesting illustration by Alejandro Gonzalez in the USA Today article. And it's got a picture of a guy in jacket and tie holding up a cross. Looks a little portly. I'm not sure if they made him look a little heavy to make him look bad. But he's about to walk off the edge of a cliff. And next to him is obviously nice gays and lesbians standing there. He's about to walk off the edge of the cliff. Oh, in the name of God, in the name of religion. And what Tom Kratmaker is telling us in this article is, look, people that are in touch, even Christians who are in touch, recognize this is not the battle we want to be fighting. He writes this: you get the sense, observing the shifting cultural landscape, that we've reached a point on gay rights that is similar to that moment in a football game or an election or a relationship when you know it's over, even though it's not over. It appears increasingly obvious, he says, that social acceptance of gay men and lesbians and insistence on their equal rights are inexorable. If the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell weren't enough to signal the turning point, or the classification of several gay-resisting Christian right organizations as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center, there came news that Exodus International is ending its involvement in the Anti-Homosexuality Day of Truth in U.S. high schools. Quote, "We need to equip kids to live out biblical tolerance and grace," Exodus President Alan Chambers explained, "while treating their neighbors as they'd like to be treated, whether we agree with them or not." Add it up, and you see a decision point at hand for socially conservative Christian groups such as the Family Research Council that have led resistance to gay rights. Do they fight to the last ditch, continue shouting the anti-gay rhetoric that rings false and mean to the many Americans who live and work with gay people or who themselves are gay? Or do they soften their tone and turn their attention to other fronts? So the article's saying, look, first thing, the battle's over. The battle's been lost. Christians, the religious right, the conservatives are not going to fight the acceptance of gays and lesbians for full civil rights. It's over. Just accept it. It's the last quarter of the football game. There are 3 minutes left on the clock. Your team is losing 64 to nothing. It's over. It's over. Accept it. And the more you fight against it, the worse you're going to look. The more you fight against it, the worse it's going to hurt your Christian witness. The more you fight against it, the more primitive you are going to appear. Article continues, prayerful discernment. Ah, it's getting spiritual here. Prayerful discernment and simple Christian decency would strongly suggest the latter, namely, soften our tone, turn our attention to other fronts. The alternative looks worse by the day, a quixotic battle, so an idealistic battle, more likely to discredit its fighters and their fine religion than win any hearts and minds for Jesus. Christianity has far worthier causes than this. For all its drama and rally the troops appeal, fighting to the end is a sure loser. More and more Americans, young people in particular, Christians very much included, know gay men and lesbians and see how the anti-gay talking points and caricatures fail to square with the reality under our noses. You say, yeah, but hang on. I mean, the Bible. I've got to go with what the Bible says. I don't care what this guy says in USA Today. I've got to go with what the Bible says. Well, he has an answer for you, too. And he quotes Gabe Lyons, a Christian author. Young Christians increasingly have family members who are gay, have people in their lives who really matter to them who are gay, and that changes how they approach these issues. This doesn't mean their convictions on the matter have changed, but in this new environment, people don't want to see their friends being discriminated against. They don't want them labeled as someone who should be feared and blamed. And on top of this, the author of the USA Today article is convinced that, hey, the Bible's really not so clear on these subjects after all. And he quotes an article that we really tore into last week by Jennifer Wright Knuth from Boston University, claiming that the Bible sends a mixed message on sexuality. So Alan Chambers, a friend of mine, leader of Exodus International, which is the network of ministries, over 100 ministries working together to help people with unwanted same-sex attraction, help people that want to come out of homosexuality. The article comes back to them. In explaining its withdrawal from the Day of Truth, Exodus International outlines a smart way forward for conservative Christian groups, one that does not require that they sacrifice their core beliefs. Note that Alan Chambers did not announce a change in his organization's philosophy that people can be saved from homosexuality through faith in Christ. What he did signal, though, was a change in tone and emphasis, and in so doing, he invoked a foundational Christian principle, treat others as you wish to be treated. And he goes on with further arguments. All right. Let me play the USA Today's advocate, the devil's advocate for a moment here. Maybe he's onto something here. Look, why are we fighting about civil rights? Why are we fighting about same-sex marriage? Where did Jesus say fight about same-sex marriage? Why are we making a big fuss about what this company does or that company does with its own policies? Why are we telling the military what to do? Come on. Our job here is to love Jesus, be nice to our neighbors, care for the poor, take good care of our children, and send out missionaries and win people to Jesus. That's our goal. We get involved in this other stuff. It is just a distraction and nothing less. We get involved in this other stuff. It lessens our witness. Come on. No one's going to listen to our message about Jesus when we're voting against this couple that lives next door, this very sweet lesbian couple, their right to marry and their right to adopt that precious little handicapped kid that they care for. No one's going to listen to your Christian witness when you oppose their civil rights and their humanity. So come on, get with the program. Plus, you're going to lose anyway. So why be marginalized? Why fight to the end, exhaust all your resources, lose all credibility, and then you lose the battle anyway? Maybe he's onto something. Maybe we can just lead the way in being nice and saying, hey, you want to marry, you want to adopt kids? That's not our issue. Our issue is leading people to Jesus, getting them saved. Or, is this the voice of the devil trying to get us to capitulate? Is this the voice of the world trying to get us to give in? Basically saying, we will intimidate or we will manipulate until you capitulate. Is this a voice not from above, but an earthly voice, a human voice, or put it in spiritual terms, the devil trying to get the church to give up? Hey, quit fighting and just concentrate on other things that don't matter, because after all, your stance isn't popular. Since when, friends, has following Jesus been popular? Since when do we measure our moral convictions by what the world likes? Since when have we been called to be pragmatic rather than prophetic? What do you think about this article? When you hear this, does it cause you to say, no, we're going to take a stand all the more? We're not going to be talked out of doing what's right. Or you think, no, maybe there's some wisdom. Maybe we need to pick another hill to die on. Oh, I've got some fascinating things to share with you, including an audio clip you may never have heard before, but your kids are probably listening to it right now. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with you after the break. Recent article, USA Today, argued that Christians should see the handwriting on the wall, quit opposing gay civil rights, same-sex marriage, full acceptance of homosexuality. They are inevitable in our society. And so if we continue to oppose these moral views, it only makes us look bad. What do you think? Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. You can weigh in at 866-34-TRUTH or at our website, askdrbrown.org. If you'll click on the Line of Fire there, there's a link to the USA Today article I read from in the first segment. There's also a link to my audio message, Politicians, Professionals, or Prophets, one of the strongest messages I've preached in my life, especially to Christian leaders. You can listen to it for free on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, before I give you more of my thoughts, my own response to this challenge, again, the challenge is, look, society's different now. Your kids have friends that are gay. They got parents that are gay. You've got coworkers that are gay. You've got TV stars, athletes, politicians. What are we fighting? The church is fighting a battle that's a past battle, number one, and it's a losing battle, number two. Just look at the shifts in society. Look at the court rulings. Look at all that's happened and repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the end of last year. I mean, that's major, major. Why fight this any longer? And by fighting it, we make ourselves look bad. I'm going to give you some thoughts and responses to that in a moment. But first, I just want to let you know how you can get a free DVD of a two-hour debate I did with my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the question of homosexuality being America's greatest moral crisis. And actually, Shmuley thought it was the best debate we ever did. We've got a stack of those that we will be giving out free to everyone that comes to our listener luncheon this Thursday, Golden Corral, Haynes Mall, 12 o'clock noon. I'll be paying for your lunch and giving you, I thought it was just a free audio CD. I found out it's actually a two-hour DVD. We want to share what's happening with the ministry, some reports that'll really encourage you. We want to meet you face-to-face. If you can come, we just need a head count because seating is limited. Give us a call at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473, or shoot us a note on the website. You'll be coming, how many people you'll be bringing with you. Remember, we don't have daycare, so sorry you can't bring all the neighborhood kids. But we'll pay for your lunch, give you a free DVD, and we want to meet you face-to-face. We're also going to do a live Ask Dr. Brown session, so you can come with some of your most difficult questions. We'll be answering them 12 o'clock noon. Golden Corral, Haynes Mall, lunch on us. All right. I have so many profound differences with this article. The first being that we do not measure what we stand for based on what the world likes or doesn't like. We do not accept certain things or reject certain things based on popularity, based on the opinion of the moment, based on whether this looks good or not, based on whether the world thinks this is Christ-like. Since when is the world the barometer of morality? Since when is the world the barometer of God's standards? I've often quoted the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, who said that the church is not the master or the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. It's part of our being salt and light. It's part of us being a moral disinfectant for society. It's one of the reasons I'm on the radio every day to seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity so that we as God's people can tell the world what's right. Speaking of Wright, listen to what N.T. Wright wrote in his book, Simply Christian. Throughout the early centuries of Christianity, when every kind of sexual behavior ever known to the human race was widely practiced throughout ancient Greek and Roman society, the Christians, like the Jews, insisted that sexual activity was to be restricted to the marriage of a man and a woman. The rest of the world, then as now, thought they were mad. The difference, alas, is that today half the church seems to think so too. Friends, we have many colleagues in the Lord who have compromised standards in order to be popular, in order to be accepted, in order to be liked, in order not to seem mean-spirited. And in the process, real moral compromise has come in as well. And I don't think that our role is we are the police force, we are God's police force, and we're going to tell you what you can and can't do. No, but we'll bring a conscience. We'll bring a conscience to the person that's about to abort their baby. We'll bring a conscience to the person that's engaging in sex trafficking. We'll bring a conscience to the person that's trying to take advantage of their workers. We'll bring a conscience to those that are trying to destroy the meaning of marriage in many different ways. That's our role, not to impose our morality, but to be a moral witness. And friends, if we don't shine the light, it's going to get pretty dark. Hey, see if you recognize this tune. Go ahead, Joey. You heard that? Heard that tune? Born This Way? You say, I didn't put on Christian radio to hear Lady Gaga. Oh, how did you know it was Lady Gaga? Uh-huh. Born This Way by Lady Gaga. Oh, let me read some of the words to it. Don't be a drag, just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, colored descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient, whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied, or teased. Rejoice and love yourself today, because baby, you were born this way. All right, color, disability, all right, now she keeps going. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, color, or orient made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave. You know why I played that clip? This song has just made history. This is the fastest number one hit ever. Within hours of its release on iTunes, more than 1 million copies had been loaded, the fastest to a million downloaded ever. And it's announcing Born This Way. Look at this again. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life. So whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, lesbian, transgendered, it's just like color. You're born this way. As I am speaking right now, there are hundreds of thousands of kids, young people all over America with these words, millions with these words in their heads, bouncing around their brains. And USA Today is telling us, hey, you know, it's inevitable. Just give in. Why fight this thing? Oh, headline I just saw today on MSNBC.com. More companies covering transgender surgery. Advocates want corporate America to see sex reassignment as American Medical Association does. Hey, you know, your company benefit. I'm a man. I want to become a woman. I'm no longer Michael Brown. I'm Michelle Brown. Companies should pay for it. Why am I raising this? To say, if we don't speak, if we don't act, what's coming next? What kind of world do we bequeath to our children? As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, and I've got this right at the beginning of my forthcoming book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. As Bonhoeffer said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. Friends, this is the time for us not to back down, not to allow someone to intimidate and manipulate until we capitulate. This is the time for us to gain fresh courage, not in an angry way, not in a mean-spirited way, not in a self-righteous way, but because we love God and we love people, we won't back down, we won't give in, we will not capitulate, we will stand for what is right, and later generations will thank us. Back with more. Time to throw in the towel. Time to capitulate. Time to recognize we've lost certain moral ground in America. We won't be regaining it. So rather than fight to the death, meaning to, you know, to the end of our organizations or to the end of our finances, and just pick a wrong hill to die on, time to adapt. USA Today says so on gay rights: keep fighting or adapt. No, the right thing for Christians to do, the Christian thing for Christians to do, is to adapt, to recognize the day and age we're living in, to not disqualify ourselves, marginalize ourselves, but hey, let's be pragmatic here. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do any of you feel it's time to throw in the towel? Do any of you feel on this one, as the article says, look, it's just like that moment in a football game or an election or relationship when you know it's over, even though it's not over? Is that the case? Hey, if society is going downhill anyway, if everything's going to get worse until Jesus comes anyway, why bother? I mean, why bother standing for morality? Why bother calling the society to do what's right? Why bother standing against the inevitable march of gay civil rights? Hey, and they're just like everybody else, should be treated like everybody else. Why be so bigoted? Or is that the subtle voice of compromise? Is that the subtle voice of deception? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me highly recommend a message to you. I preached at a leadership conference in the midst of a powerful revival move some years ago, and it seems to be one of the most long-term impacting messages I've ever preached. It's called Politicians, Professionals, or Prophets. You can listen to it free on the website. Ask drbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and there's a link that you can listen to. You know, one of the most amazing points raised in this article is this is by Tom Krattenmaker. We've got a link to it as well on the Ask Dr. Brown site. He says this: it appears increasingly obvious that social acceptance of gay men and lesbians and insistence on their equal rights are inexorable. It's moving forward. It can't be stopped. Okay, what does that actually mean as far as morality? What if we filled in something else there? What if we said polygamy instead, just to throw something else in there? What if it was something else that, you know, that women were being deprived of the right to vote now, or they're being deprived? You know, Islam is growing in America. Just accept it. Women are not going to be allowed to vote anymore. They're not even going to be allowed to drive cars anymore, like in Saudi Arabia. Accept it. Since when does the fact that something is marching forward mean that we're supposed to accept it? And just because something's pervasive in society, if that was the case, slavery would still be here. We wouldn't have fought against the injustice of slavery. So the idea that it's just going to happen, there's no sense fighting. Since when does that have any moral bearing on us as believers? Some of us read that, it's like, yeah, I guess so. No. Think the opposite. Think that that's the voice of an opposing force, even if it's a gentleman who's got the best intentions, but he's just misguided here. That to me is the voice of God speaking through that, saying, time to wake up, time to wake up. But check this out. He says, if that wasn't enough, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell weren't enough to signal the turning point, or the classification of several gay-resisting Christian right organizations as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center, there came news that Exodus International was ending its involvement in the Anti-Homosexuality Day of Truth in U.S. high schools. You know, the only problem with this is just about every word here is either misleading or incorrect. Let's start with the Southern Poverty Law Center classifying a certain Christian right organizations as hate groups. We did a show about this and said that all the Southern Poverty Law Center did was debunk itself. Some of the alleged criticisms, some of the alleged categories of spreading lies. And by the way, I've got a letter on my desk I'm looking at from the Southern Poverty Law Center, from J. Richard Cohen, president and CEO, to me, to yours truly, because I stood with Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, and other organizations that were blasted as alleged hate groups. It was just mind-boggling to see the list, some of the finest family organizations in America. And I stood with them in an ad that was published. So I've got this 3-page letter explaining to me how just, you know, anyone can recognize I shouldn't be standing with these hate groups. Again, intimidate, manipulate until you capitulate. And we're hoping to get Mr. Cohen on the air with me, because he said that they're all for discussing these views. So we'll see if he'll come on and discuss them with me. But not only is that bogus. Okay, so some radical group that in many ways has disqualified itself in the eyes of the public, Southern Poverty Law Center, which had done fine work in other areas in the past, they, for bogus reasons, brand certain groups hate groups. Okay, now because they do, those groups that have been falsely accused are supposed to step back. And then Exodus has withdrawn from involvement with Day of Truth, anti-homosexuality, Day of Truth. Day of Truth was not anti-homosexuality. Day of Truth was saying, can we have dialogue? In fact, Focus on the Family has taken it back over, and it is now the Day of Dialogue. It is in response to the Day of Silence, which calls on your kids in school to go to school and say nothing in solidarity with gays who are silent. So through the day to not participate in school, the Day of Silence, whole schools participated. Administration, faculty will honor this. They'll even have a whole week that's devoted to gay activist propaganda in the schools. So the Day of Truth was to say, let's have a gracious discussion. It was not anti-homosexuality. And a major reason for Exodus pulling out of it was that's not their emphasis. Their emphasis is helping people come out of same-sex attraction. So this whole article, you know what the feeling is? You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You ever done that trash talk? Playing gay? I do it playing around, playing sports. To this day, 55 years old, but if I'm playing sports, I'll trash talk. There's no way you're going to win. Quit now. That's just strategy to try to get somebody to beat you. And sometimes when you know they're going to win, you trash talk all the more to get them to quit. This, to me, is just, sorry to say, trash talk. All right, let me grab a call. Cliff in Colorado Springs, Colorado, thanks for calling today.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say about this issue, you know, things may get worse and worse, and the Bible has told us that, you know, towards the end, evildoers are going to wax worse and worse. But right now, I think what we're seeing is things are coming full circle. You know, when Christianity was first going out to Rome and to Greece and all those areas, these kind of problems were a major issue. And I think our societies are returning to that form of hedonism. And it's something that regardless of how bad it gets, we have to stand up and we have to say, like your ministry, God has a better way.
Mm.
You know, and eventually, you know, if God tarries long enough, you may see it return back to people seeking holiness because they've sickened themselves with their sin.
Ah, but you know, those are great points that, again, regardless of the darkness that surrounds us, the Bible still calls us to shine the light. It doesn't say, hey, when it gets darker, put the lights away, right? And then the other point you're making is that things do cycle as well, that sometimes when people have their full taste of sin, they are repulsed by it. Or when they see the fruit of it, that they recognize there is a better way. So, yeah, we keep sounding that message, God has a better way. If someone wants to call it hateful, if someone wants to call it intolerant, they'll just expose themselves as being hateful and intolerant. But the message of Jesus will always go against the grain of society. And in the end, people will thank us for being witnesses. Thank you, Cliff, for the clear word. All right, we come back. I'm going to tell you about a prom, the likes of which you have never heard before. There is a great comment by a teenager that I know that was part of our church community, or folks went to our school of ministry some years ago. Great comment I want to read to you by a teenager. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. To get involved in the discussion online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Responding to a USA Today article last week telling Christians that the Christian thing to do is throw in the towel over the battle over gay rights and those kind of things. That's a lost battle. It's inevitable. Focus on other issues and don't marginalize yourselves. Listen to this comment by a young lady named Evie. She said, if we give up, there will be no change. Oh, think about that. And friends, can I remind you that although we wait with expectation for the return of Jesus, that many generations have lived and died. In fact, every generation up until now has lived and died, waiting for him to come, waiting for him to return for the last 2,000 years, and he hasn't yet, which means that there may be a generation ahead of us and another one after that and another one after that. We don't know. But perhaps we're not just thinking rightly when we think about our generation. Perhaps we have to ask ourselves, what about the generation of our kids or the generation of our grandkids or great-grandkids? Or what about our responsibility before God just in the time that we have here? Just in our time that we have here, what's our responsibility? Heavy says if we give up, there'll be no change. If we keep fighting, God can move and change the impossible. Come on. I like that. Jesus didn't quit right before he got to the cross saying they will just keep sinning. What's the use? He fought for us even though he knew we would keep making mistakes. If we're to be like Jesus, we should not give up either. Just because someone told us the fight is not going to be won, we keep pushing and striving until God changes something. And isn't God calling us to do what's right regardless of the immediate results? And aren't we going to have more integrity in our witness to the lost when we show that we stand for what is right, regardless of whether it's popular or not? And isn't it often the case that the church does better as the persecuted, oppressed minority than when it is the ruling majority? I, for one, relish the opportunity to come in as the underdog that everyone is trying to silence, because then I know I'm not relying on my power or my words or my rhetoric or my organization or whatever it is, or my political party, my political might. I'm relying on the Lord to cause his truth to triumph. I'm relying on the power of the cross, which is not human might, but God's power, confounding the wisdom of the world with the foolishness of the cross. You know, it's so interesting that the world can talk about these issues, homosexual issues, day and night. And the moment we raise our voice to say, hey, we care about the people deeply. Jesus died for people, and we'll give our lives for the people, but we differ with the agenda. You're obsessed with this. The world's talking about it day and night. Gay activist organizations are obsessed with this. That's for them their life. They're dealing with it day and night. We raise a word of protest about the agenda. Now we're obsessed, and now we're told, hey, there is no other side to the story. You know, your kids can get indoctrinated into pro-homosexual attitudes and thoughts and even behaviors that you wouldn't want to know about. They can be indoctrinated into that. And if you say, you know, I'd like the school to talk about how people can come out of homosexuality. No, no, no. As gay activist leaders have said, there is no other side to the story. But you know, this whole idea, face the facts, the game is over. Hey, admit it. Why fool yourself? You're not going to win. You know, the election results are 98% in and your side is down by 20 points. It can't change. It's too late. You know, there's a saying in sports, that's why they play the game. Do you know how many upsets take place? Do you know how many unforeseen things happen? Do you know how many scenarios completely turn around? I was playing my son-in-law in some video game football. He was much better at it than I was, but somehow I was beating him, and it got right to the end, and all I had to do was just the most ridiculously simple play, and I blew it, and he won, and he looked at me and said, that's why they play the game. Friends, don't be discouraged by negative reports around you. Don't be discouraged even by setbacks. Don't be discouraged by things where it looks like our side is losing ground, because the kingdom of God is advancing every day. And Jesus is Lord 24/7. And for the righteous, we are watching light get brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Okay, 2 days away from our big countdown to Thursday, 12 noon, all our friends in the greater Winston-Salem area in the triad, 12 noon, meet me at Golden Corral, Haynes Mall. Lunch is on me. I want to meet you face-to-face, share some of the exciting things that are happening through the line of fire, things that you'll be really encouraged to hear, some amazing open doors the Lord's setting before us too. 12 noon, Golden Corral, Haynes Mall. I'm also going to give everybody that comes a free 2-hour DVD debate, which is going to be more than worth your visit. So if you're coming, we just need a head count. Give us a call, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. Just tell us that you're coming and how many folks will be coming with you, or shoot us a note on the website, askdrbrown.org. We'll come back with my bottom line.
We want.
All right, we are back. Once again, I wish I had 2 or 3 hours to talk to you about these issues. But when the world tells us give up, that's when we know stand strong. When the world tells us get quiet, that's when we know shout aloud. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. If you missed any part of the program, make sure you go to the website, click on the Line of Fire. There's a link to an article in USA Today that I took strong issue with, saying, hey, the Christian thing is for Christians to adapt to the fact that gay rights are just going to be inevitable in our society. So don't oppose it. You're going to look bad. Just kind of capitulate here, and then you have a better witness. You know, it reminds me of a little cartoon I saw in an Israeli newspaper once, and it was two Native Americans, American Indians, talking to Israelis, and they said, you know, this whole land for peace thing didn't really work well for us. Yeah, just cut off another little piece, and then everything will be fine. Yeah. Oh, no, oh, you know, actually just a little bit more. I mentioned earlier a prom, the likes of which you've not heard of. Well, there was a dispute in one high school because the girl that, well, the person that was elected the prom king of the school was actually a girl. The girl who identified as a boy and was elected as the prom king. So the principal said, no, we're not going to have that. The school said not going to have it. Oh, so people are upset. The girl identifies as a boy. Remember, this is a physical, biological woman, young woman, who identifies as a young man. She was voted as prom king in the school. Well, now you know what they've done 1 year later? Their prom is gender neutral. Gender neutral. Male, female is the enemy, friend. Wake up to the fact that if we capitulate a little bit here, we'll be capitulating in things we never thought of. Remember the famous quote of Martin Niemöller, who just thought, you know, quietness, compromise is the way to go in the days of the Holocaust. I'm not comparing gay activism to the Nazis, okay? Please understand that. I'm talking about a social issue. Niemöller famously, you know, first they came for the Jews, but I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't speak up. They came for the communists. I wasn't a communist. I didn't speak up. They came for the trade unionists, whatever it was. Because I wasn't a trade unionist, I didn't speak up. Then they came for me. There was no one left to speak for me. Martin Luther said this, and here's my bottom line, friends. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking, that I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all battlefields beside is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Friends, this is the critical challenge for followers of Jesus this day. How to truly demonstrate the love of God towards those who oppose us. How to truly demonstrate the love of God towards those who identify as gay, bisexual, transgender, lesbian. How to truly demonstrate the love of God. How to truly preach to them that Jesus' blood saves, transforms, cleanses heterosexual, homosexual life. To truly reach out with the sacrificial love of God while at the same time not capitulating to the culture, while at the same time not bowing down to moral forces that will ultimately destroy the very fabric of our society and will ultimately take away our very freedom of speech. The message remains, speak now or forever hold your peace. And the strategy remains, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with the compassion of Jesus, with the love of God, as a true neighbor, as a true friend, and resist the agenda with courage. It is what God has called us to do. It is what God has appointed us to do in this generation. If we don't, we'll have to explain things to our kids and grandkids and to the Lord as well. But if we do, you know what we'll hear from the Lord? Well done, good and faithful servant. So friends, be strong. Don't back down. Be renewed in the Lord. Be full of his spirit, full of his truth, full of his word, full of his love. And let us move forward in Jesus' name. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for further resources that will charge your batteries. And we'll see you at the luncheon on Thursday.